Into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your co-host, Corey Kinnon. Alongside me is Dalton Miller. And today we have a free agency-ish, although actually none of these questions are free agency related. So we just have a regular Daft on Draft or Dafter Draft episode here to go over some three more hot takes. Either we're buying or selling here. But before we do that, Dalton, how has your wonderful Wednesday been? Man, I can't even keep track of what day it is. Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the podcast is going to drop on Thursday, but yes, it is Wednesday, and my Wednesday was nice. We finally got a little bit of sun here. It's been raining like crazy here, which is definitely out of the ordinary, but we got a little bit of sun, so we got a little family walk in. That was nice. The pup, I say pup, she's nine, but she hasn't really gotten out and gotten a good walk, and she is currently laying down on the couch here beside me. She's absolutely exhausted after it. So a nice day out in the sun a little bit. Got a pool session in, so a lot of back hitting in the gym today. And we had cod and polenta for dinner tonight. It was delicious. Polenta, not something eaten in the United States very often, but if you guys can find it, you can do it in like 3 minutes in a pot with some water. It's so easy. And depending on how you want to make it, you can make it like really thick and make it like a thick mashed potato. You can even make it like a brick and kind of like fry it. Or you can make it really, you know, kind of soft and put everything else kind of in it like not a stew. It's not like that, but it's more like the instant mashed potatoes, which are a little bit wetter, I guess is the way to say it. But it's a lot of volume for what it is calorically. So it's a pretty decent diet carbohydrate for those looking to do that right now. Sorry, I got on a huge fucker. I got on a huge tangent there about food. I can go all day on that. So anyways, let's talk about football. How has your day been today, Corey?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm feeling a little on the exhausted side today, but I'm pushing through. We're getting there. Excited to talk some ball. Let's dive into this Dafter Draft. So first one here, Dafter Draft, Georgia's pro day was today. Mykael Williams did not test at the NFL combine, obviously. Mykael Williams at his pro day ran anywhere between an estimated 4.76 to 4.82, and his 40-yard dash is kind of what I saw from guys like Dane Brugler out there.
Weirdly, I didn't see much of anything out of their pro day numbers wise for anybody. I was looking it up and didn't really see much reporting on the numbers for these guys outside of Dan Jackson, who is reminds me so much of Dan Smith from BYU from the old Key and Peele skit. But he went out and ran a 4.44. So when the white safety runs a good time, Georgia's going to pump that one out there. Georgia's a weird one because you've seen their like high-end prospects or like well-known prospects either test out of this world or like completely crap the bucket, it seems.
Yeah.
Their combine or pro day gear up just seems to just be off for some reason. And I mean, it could just be a training thing. Those guys probably are going to the same guy year in and year out, or same guys year in and year out, same training facilities. Mm-hmm. And it might just not be working out for them. They might need to figure something else out. But when it comes to Mykael Williams, what exactly are we going to draft or draft here, Corey?
Yeah. So take that information that he ran, I would say only a 4.73 to 4.8 ish. At 267 pounds, Dafter Draft, Mykael Williams shouldn't be a top three edge drafted in the 2025 NFL draft.
I mean, I'm gonna draft this. So this is important. The 40 time does nothing for me. Mm-hmm. The 40 time is not a bother to me whatsoever. I didn't think he was unbelievably explosive. Anyways, he is a good athlete. he, in my opinion, playing a lot of, you know, three and four eye, is somebody who has a really solid natural anchor for being 265, 270 pounds. Those 35 inch arms are legit. He's got a ton of length, but not unbelievable explosiveness. And we've talked ad nauseum at this point. We think he's pretty stiff. His ankles are stiff. He doesn't play with very good bend. And yes, he was playing through an ankle injury earlier in the year. I don't know how much that affected him all year, but even his tape beforehand in 2023, you don't see it there either. And can you survive on the edge or even thrive on the edge without having great ankle flexibility? Yes, you have to be able to play through the chest and you have to have a good pass rush plan. He doesn't have either. Well, he doesn't have the second one down yet. He doesn't have the hands. He doesn't have the pass rush repertoire right now ironed out for me. So it is a lot of upside if you're going to draft him, you know, in the top 15. And where are you getting that upside from? Are you hoping that it comes technically? Do you think he has some ankle flexibility and he just wasn't able to show it this year? Like, what are you gambling on here outside of a ridiculous wingspan that should translate to a really ridiculous power profile at the NFL level?
Yeah. I am on board with you on everything that you said. I think when we're talking, like, people want to comp Shamar Stewart to Jadeveon Clowney, but I think Mykael Williams is probably a closer comp to Jadeveon Clowney than Shamar Stewart is. And the fact that kind of the same things have hampered Clowney from being a overly productive pass rusher is that he can only win through the chest. He doesn't have bend. He possesses really stiff ankles. There isn't a lot of plan from him coming off the edge, but he's got one of the highest floors of any edge rusher in the NFL as a run defender, and that's why he keeps getting paid. And so that's not to say that there isn't a contract, a second contract out there for Mykael. There isn't a pathway out there for Mykael, but we are both on the same page that the ceiling conversation surrounding him, and not even that, but like his baseline ranking surrounding him is higher than either of us would put him. With that being said as well, though, I'm going to draft this because there isn't a lot to love about this edge class outside of Abdul Carter and Shamar Stewart, in my opinion. Comparing Mykael to Shamar Stewart, and I've been this way since November, is like I'm taking Shamar over Mykael 10 out of 10 times. If we're taking guys with perceived raw pass rush plans but high upside, I think Shamar's ankles are far more flexible. I think Shamar's far more explosive. I think Shamar's far more powerful. And then I do see a semblance of a plan from Shamar compared to Mykael Williams. So to me, the conversation between the two isn't a hard one. And I'm taking Shamar Stewart top 10 every time. And I'm probably not taking Mykael Williams until 20-ish range. But considering this edge class, I'm going to draft it. And because I do think that Mykael has the right to be the third edge off the board when comparing him to names like James Pierce, who we have heard might slip fairly far because teams don't really know how to handle his personality, and he hasn't been the best teammate or the best person to have around a program. And some personality traits there, or comparing him to Mike Green, who is another edge rusher that people really love, that has some stuff in his background that could cause him to fall pretty far in the class as well. Again, who knows how every team views these things differently, even the Mike Green stuff. They might take his word for some of the stuff because he has never been charged, right? So there is some stuff there that teams can take their word for. But when putting him in the conversation of Pierce and Green and Scorton, so we both like Scorton more than the NFL seems to do, but when putting, and Scorton doesn't have any character issues like that. There's nothing to talk about with Scorton there at all. So I don't want to lump him in with Pierce and Green, but those are the only other three edge rushers that I think I would consider in the first round to begin with. Is what I would say there. When I put him up against those guys, I say, yeah, Mykael can get drafted or should get drafted above those guys. I'd probably still draft Scorton above Williams, but the conversation isn't out of the ordinary or extreme for me to say Mykael Williams is the third edge off the board. I don't consider Landon Jackson that fondly. I don't consider Jack Sawyer that fondly. I don't consider Princely Umanmielen that fondly. I don't consider JTT that fondly. So I'm going to draft it and say Mykael Williams should be the third edge off the board.
I think depending on how you look at his teammate could be the third edge off of the board. And depending on the team, they might
that's also a good conversation.
Edge.
Yeah.
Your nails on with Pierce, your nails on with Mike Green. The one wild card that I would like to bring up is Boston College edge rusher Donovan Ezeruwaku.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a good call.
Who I think is, in my opinion, the most hilarious pass rusher I think I've ever watched, because it appears to me he is on the sideline and his buddies on the sideline have a hat, and the hat has a pass rush move in it, a whole bunch of them. And he picks one or two out of the hat for the next drive coming up. And he's just playing musical chairs with pass rush moves. And when they hit, they are gorgeous. And he's a little bit sawed off, and he's got good length, and he's explosive, and he's got good bend. I think that there could be a team that could kind of Harold Landry talk themselves into him, but I think he's a better run defender than Harold Landry. I think he has a higher upside as a run defender than Harold Landry ever did. I don't think he has the same ankle flexibility as him or quite the same explosiveness, but there is a pass rush arsenal in his game, and I could see a team falling in love with that, plus the production that he showed at Boston College, which is something that we have not seen from Mykael Williams. The production isn't there. And if you look at the edge tape, the production is not there. Flat out.
Yeah. I mean, I brought it up on this podcast a lot that I intentionally went back through Mykael Williams and watched every pass rush rep from 2024 and most of 2023, and I could count on one hand the amount of times that he won along the outside track, and that's a pretty big issue. The Donovan Ezeruwaku call is a good call because his testing matches up with his tape, like how he wins matched up with his three cone and his short shuttle, how he wins matched up with his vertical. I think Harold Landry ish is a decent call, but I think even Ezeruwaku's hands and power profile is a little bit better. That so like there's a power profile and a floor to play on the field on first and second downs for Ezeruwaku as well. So that's the wild card in this conversation. Is he the third edge off the board? That's a really good call there. Second after draft here. We talk a lot about this running back class, about how many quality names there are. So let's put a number on it. After draft, 8 running backs from this class will have a 1K yard rushing season in their NFL career, draft or draft.
I'm going to answer this without having done an iota of research on how often this actually happens.
Yep, same.
And I'm going to draft this.
Ooh.
I'm going to draft this, and I'm going to go even hotter here. And we talked about this pre, and we decided to go with the number 8 instead of this. But I think there will be more 1,000-yard rushers from this class and 1,000-yard receivers. And if you really think about that, that's kind of insane because there are just so many more wide receivers to choose from, just period. But then when I was doing the initial top 15, top 10, top 15, 4 wide receiver and 4 running backs for PFN when I was doing the rankings, I actually watched more running backs than I did wide receivers because I would turn a running back on and I'd be like, oh my God, this guy might be really, really good. And I was watching wide receivers and I was like, this guy just doesn't really have it. And that's how I feel about each class. And with the resurgence of the run game at the NFL level, it gives me a little bit more confidence that this is a legitimate opportunity or a legitimate possibility for this class.
I'm gonna daft it.
It's a lot of names. That's a lot. 8's a lot.
Eight is a lot. I would draft the more 1K rushers than 1K yards receivers, because again, I think this receiver class is just full of a lot of role players. Compared to like even the guys at the top, like I really like Matthew Golden, but I think he's a Z who's best suited as like a Jordan Addison to Justin Jefferson. But I guess even Jordan Addison has gone over 1,000 yards. So I guess that's not a great example there. So maybe I do think there are a few more 1,000-yard receivers out there. But when I look at this running back class, and I really do like the names of this running back class, I see five guys that I would consistently play on first and second downs. And I think that's who you need to be to rush for 1,000 yards in the NFL level. And so I'll take Ashton Janti. I'll take Omarion Hampton. I'll take Caleb Johnson. I'll take Travion Henderson. And I'll take DJ Giddens as those five who I think have enough juice on first and second downs. Good eyes, good patient. Can carry a bulk of carries in this class to do it. Outside of those five, even though like I have Omarion, or not, I'm sorry, Jaden Blue ranked above DJ Giddens, and I have Trevor Etienne ranked above DJ Giddens. And Trevor Etienne, I think, can handle it, but he's never with his health. He's never handled that workload with his health. He misses a lot of games. Jaden Blue, I have ranked above DJ Giddens. But I don't think Jaden Blue possesses the skill set to be a three-down player. And I think he's a weapon you want on the field in passing situations, and you want to get manufactured touches to, and you want to get the ball in his hands. But I don't necessarily trust him between the trenches on a down-to-down basis. And so I'm going to go with five, and those five that I named are the guys that I'm going to go with.
All right. We will have to wait probably 3 years, because half of them, or if not more, will be out of the NFL by then, because that's the way that the running back position works. And we will return to this, hopefully, and see who was right.
Yes. I love it. All right. Last one here. We're going to go to the defensive side of the ball again. We're going to talk about some corners. The last after draft, East Carolina corner Savon Revel will be the third cornerback off the board in the 2025 NFL draft.
I think no matter how you really slice this, I think he is. I think he's the third corner off of the board. Now, what I will say is Maxwell Harrison could throw a wrench in this, but I'm looking even as high, and I don't know what Revel's medicals are looking like right now, but this is a guy who had like cornerback three talk heading into the year, and then played really well to start the season, has the length, has the explosiveness. And I mean, just looking at a team like Dallas with Eberflus, the type of corner that he likes. So, and Dallas has a huge need at the position. So I think Revel is going to be the third guy off of the board. And I will let you say your answer, and then we will discuss some of the nuance that goes into the decision to say yes or no, he will be the third off of the board, because this is a much more complicated discussion overall. But Corey, what do you think?
I'm also going to draft it. I'm going to say that Savon Revel will be the third corner off the board. Yes, I will draft that as well.
All right. And this is what makes it complicated.
Yes, there are a lot of players who play multiple positions and can be seen as multiple positions in this quarterback class. Two in particular.
Yes.
Two in particular.
Depending on how you look at it, Savon Revel might be the first corner off of the board. Because if you think Travis Hunter, or if Travis Hunter ends up being drafted as a wide receiver, there's a corner off of the board that he doesn't have to worry about. If you believe Jahdae Barron is an apex defender, kind of like our great white hope in Philadelphia. I think that, you know, if he's a Cooper DeJean type, I kind of view him as a safety. I view that as a safety. Yeah, it's a slot corner, but I view that position as a safety. And then the league just doesn't seem to really be there on Will Johnson right now. We'll see what happens at the Michigan Pro Day. But it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if Revel went before him. And so you're looking at potentially being the first legitimate corner off of the board. And if we're looking at that, man, is this like the worst corner class that we've seen in a while? Because like Quinyon Mitchell went 22nd overall, but like this is a not great draft class to begin with.
Yeah. And Travis Hunter's now like, I actually just want to play wide receiver if you're going to
Which he should. Monetarily, he should absolutely want to play wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, which is weird because we came into the season talking about this corner class like it was something hot.
Well, it stinks.
Well, Johnson was both of our top players in the class coming into the season.
Johnson got hurt. Revel got hurt. Morrison got hurt. Like, all of these guys got hurt early.
Takario Davis fell off and went back to school and transferred.
Takario Davis fell off. And nobody really, I think the thing about this class is nobody really ascended in this class. And that's the biggest issue. That's the biggest issue with this class.
Yeah. Yep. Big time. I still think that Will Johnson is one of the most overthought players in this class. I think he is the victim of prospect fatigue in this class of anyone here. Just like watch him as a freshman and a sophomore, man. And then he goes into a season where he's playing obviously through a foot injury and he's playing on a team that isn't competitive and he's checked out.
Coming off of Natty.
Coming off of the Natty, yeah. So like, come on.
Coming off of a Natty, he knows he's going to the NFL. This team has no quarterback. Right. What's the point?
Right. And that's where he's at. And then he wisely pulled a Jaxon Smith-Njigba and said, like, let's just ride it out. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba had the same talk coming out. And he didn't go until he was the first receiver off the board, but him and Addison weren't. It was closer to 20. Was it 20th overall or like 18th?
I think it was 19 or 20.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. And so I think, but I can't imagine Will Johnson falling that far. And I can't imagine which corners were taking over him. I do like Revel's tape, and I always have liked Revel's tape, and I've been higher on him than you. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Revel is also coming off of an ACL tear, and he's 24 years old. He's a 24-year-old rookie. So, like, I think there are some things there that I would say, like, I'm still not taking him over Will Johnson. For one, I'm still not taking over Will Johnson because I think Will Johnson's a better football player. I don't understand what the Will Johnson thing is going. I think Jahdae Barron is obviously the wild card here. Again, everybody I've talked to loves Jahdae Barron. That was the talk of the combine. Just like, yeah, Jahdae Barron's that dude. Jahdae Barron's that dude. And then he goes out and he runs a 4.39. And it just kind of goes on from there. Like, he runs a sub 4.4 and people see him as an outside corner. People see him as like that safety nickel hybrid apex defender, both caliber players to be taken in the first round in today's NFL. I'm penning him in every first round that I'm doing or mock draft that I'm doing from here on out in the first round. So I think Barron is the wild card here to be the second one off the board. But if we're saying Savon Revel is the third corner off the board and we're considering Travis Hunter a receiver, then yeah, I'm going to draft that as well. As much as I love Azariah Thomas, it's very clear that I'm above consensus on him, but above Azariah Thomas. Maxwell Hairston's the other wild card here. Teams love Maxwell Hairston. Teams need corners. I could see somebody taking a shot on Maxwell Hairston above Savon Revel as well. Barron and Hairston and Revel, that group of three will be interested to see how it plays out. But like, for the life of me, how is Will Johnson not the first like pure corner off the board? If we're considering Travis Hunter a wide receiver, have we gotten here?
I don't know. I could not agree with you more about Will Johnson. Couldn't agree with you more. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me. It just has to make sense to the ever wise NFL who never screws up this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there we go. tell us where we're idiots. Tell us where we're smart. Mykel Williams, we're both drafting that he should be the third edge off. Actually, I drafted that one. Dalton drafted that Mykel Williams should be the third edge off the board. I drafted it. I drafted that 8 running backs would go for 1K. And then I drafted that Revel would be the third corner off the board. You drafted that 8 running backs would go for 1K, right?
I did. It's an insane draft, but I am drafting it.
That's one of your more draftier drafts for sure. Mm-hmm. But that's it for this episode of the Draft on Draft podcast. We are going to, as soon as we hit end recording on this call, we're going to send out mailbag requests because we are doing a mailbag for our final episode of the week. So look forward to that. For now, I'm Corey. That is Dalton. And this has been another episode of the Draft on Draft podcast.